I have three verses I'm going to just lay out before you. You know these verses very well. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to them and you can keep your finger there or whatever you want. They'll also be on the big screen. But I'm going to lay out three verses that we're going to ponder today. And this topic, you saw the topic in your bulletin. We're going to ponder and process this topic for the next, well, today and next week for sure, and we'll see whatever else. Let me share with you those three verses first. The first one comes from Psalm 14:1. It says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." You've all heard of that one before. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a group of people like that, you know, around us. James 2:19. James writes, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." There's another group of people that said, "Yes, I believe in God, but don't take it any further." A fairly large group of people. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Another larger group of people, according to what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Now bear those three verses in mind and listen to a new term. Tim is going to pop it up on the big screen and you'll see it again next week. And next week I'll have the definition spelled out for you in bullet points. I'm not going to give that to you today because I knew we wouldn't have as much time, but next week I will do that for you. Here's the term: moralistic, therapeutic deism. That's a new term that's been introduced into our vocabulary by sociologists Kristen Smith and Melinda Lundquist to describe what they consider to be the common religious beliefs among American people, and primarily in their study group was younger people. But I would submit to you it's more than young people that have these tendencies when you see the description. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. Let me just give you five bullet points, and next week we'll put them on the screen because we'll take a little bit more time to ponder them. Number one, a God, this is the rationale behind this common religious beliefs in America today. Number one, a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life here on earth. And in their opinion, it could be a large G or a small G God. Number two, God wants people to be good, to be nice, and to be fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most other world religions. Number three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve problems. And number five, good people go to heaven when they die. That's what these two sociologists have concluded in literally speaking to and interviewing thousands of people, that this is a primary thought today, and they boil it down and call it moralistic therapeutic deism. This is a very common thought today. A thought that makes me feel good. Well, I'm basically good, and God is basically good, so everything must be good. I'll talk about that more next week when we have just a little more time. Let me go back to the verses. Psalm 14:1 addresses the atheist. There are a certain amount of people in our society and around the world that hold the view there is no God. You know that, I know that. You may know people that hold that view. There is no God. It isn't a very high percentage in America, but it's growing all the time. I have heard the arguments of some atheists. Some would argue, where was God when tragedy hit? Have you heard those arguments? Where was God when tragedy hit my life? Or Auschwitz? Or 9/11? I don't know if you remember, a short while ago I referred to Corey and Betsy Ten Boom in a Nazi prison camp for smuggling Jews to safety. And in Corey's book, she reminded us of a time, oftentimes the women in the women's barracks would be used for nothing more than the gratification of the SS troops for their sexual pleasures. And one time as they were coming to Corey and Betsy's barracks, upon arrival at the barracks, the SS troop discovered the barracks were too full of lice to go in and have their way with these women. And Corey writes in her book, God used lice that day to keep us safe. That would be my answer to the atheist that said, where was God at Auschwitz? And I don't know if you've read the book. There was a book that was produced after 9/11. And of course these are tragedies, don't get me wrong. But there was a book and there was many articles, including in the USA Today, that had articles of miracles from the rubble, even, of 9/11. As a matter of fact, I think it was in 2008, USA Today had an article that was titled, Miracles Emerge from the Debris. Anybody read that? USA Today? There were a lot of survivors, not a lot, but there was 20-some survivors that were buried under 3 billion pounds of rubble, and they lived. And most of them got interviewed. And the article then goes on to in detail about the interviews, about what happened and what they're thinking and how they're praying. And one lady that was brought out from the rubble after several days, even produced a book called Angels in the Rubble. And I would submit that God was there too. Or in the book that was put together a couple of years, telling of those that missed getting to work that day, they missed getting there on time because in one case, their shoes were too tight when they were walking to work these many, many blocks, and they had to stop and sit down and even get a new pair of shoes, making them late to be there for the falling down of the towers. Or the ones that had sick children that morning and couldn't get to work, or the ones that were trapped in traffic, or all manner of things where this book compiled these people that were, normally they would have been there and weren't that day. I would submit to us again that God was there even in the tragedy, even though we like to say, where was God when tragedy strikes? And I know we can argue away these as chance or fate or luck or something like that, but may I just suggest that God is still omnipresent. And God is even in your tragedy. We may not always feel it, we may not always see Him, but He is with us. And so we're reminded, when I think about this MTD, moralistic, therapeutic deism, and trying just to feel good about myself because maybe I believe or maybe I don't, I'm reminded that Psalm 14:1, it's only the fool, eternal fool, that says in their heart, there is no God. This is a little off the track, but let me just take 1 minute. Why do these tragedies happen? Why do bad things happen to people? You know the answers. Very simply put, we live in fallen humanity. We sinned in the Garden of Eden. Human beings, we would have done the same as Adam and Eve. When we gave in to the temptation of the devil in the Garden of Eden, we opened ourselves up to death and destruction and mayhem and temptation and sin and all manner of difficulty. We invited that in the Garden of Eden. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know that already. That's why bad things happen to people. Now hear me on this before I go on to my next two verses. We don't have too much time, but hear me on this. Please bear in mind and please just hear me out. The atheist is no more lost than the person sitting in church every Sunday that has not been born again. Are you hearing me, friends? If I have not been born again and I sit in church every week, I'm no different in an eternal basis, according to the Word of God, than the atheist who says there is no God. I know that seems harsh. I know that you might even think I'm wrong. But we are of all, we teach this to our Awana children and to our Sunday school children and to our VBS children early on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And going to the church house a day a week or 6 days a week doesn't make us any different than the atheists until we have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The atheist is no more lost than I am until I've been redeemed. By God's grace, praise be to God, I've been redeemed. James 2:19 said, there's a lot of people that say, I believe in God. In essence, he's saying, so what? The Pharisees did too in the times of Jesus, and Jesus condemned them for their hypocritical ways. James says, so what? The devil does too. It's what we do with that belief in God. It's what we do in our faith, in our heart, in our spirit. Jesus said it this way to the religious person who knew all about God, you must be born again. That's a spiritual thing. I hear people tell me I believe in God. That's a good thing. But we need to take our belief in God and apply it by faith. We need to be born in the Spirit. We need to embrace the idea that God loved us so much He sent His Son to die for us. We need to embrace the idea that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to confess our sins and call upon Him and trust Him and surrender to Him as Lord. There's a large category of people in this MTD category and in this James 2:19 category that says, yeah, but Jim, I believe in God. And James comes back with, so do the demons believe. And they're not right with God. The Pharisees believed in God, and they weren't right with God through faith in His Son either. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I fear sometimes there's a lot of people going through life, going through the religious motions, maybe even in church on a regular basis, rationalizing in their mind, I'm basically good, God is basically good, and things are okay. And Jesus said, but not everyone who said, Lord, or gone to church, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those that do the will of our Heavenly Father, Jesus said. Over the course of the next week or two, I want to talk more, and I'm going to put these 5 points on the board for you next week to look at them closer. But over the course of the next couple of weeks, If you get nothing else, friends, remember this, and I know most of you already know this, that Jesus is the only way to be God's adopted child. Jesus, by His own words, is the only way to heaven. If you get nothing else, and I'm going to define moralistic, therapeutic deism more for us next week, and this idea about, I'm pretty good. If you get nothing else, know that Jesus is the only way. Your surrendered, my surrendered, people's surrendered faith to the Son of God. To know about God intellectually is one thing. To apply it to our heart and be born again is another. That's what Jesus meant when He spoke to the religious man called Nicodemus. He had the head knowledge. And Jesus said, it's not enough. You must be born again if you're ever going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about a spiritual thing. We can't work our way. We can't be good enough. We can't be baptized enough or attend church service enough. It's the grace of God and our faith in Him that saves. Our faith that He is Savior. He died on the cross for us. Our faith that He is Lord. We are a sinner and need a Savior, and He's it. Our surrendered faith in Christ. When Jesus bid the disciples, come, follow me, He does the same for us. Come and be my follower and be born again. And until we do that, we fall into the category of MTD. And I just want us to be aware, don't get caught up in that thinking that says, I'm okay, you're okay, just because I haven't killed somebody or whatever else. Moralistic, therapeutic deism is a rationalizing of our own goodness. We want to make ourselves feel good or better by assuming that we are basically good and God is basically good, and so everything must be good. Don't get caught up in that thinking and assume that everything is going to be good on Judgment Day unless we've been born again. I'm going to close with this verse and then we're going to sing. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, 21, 20, I stand at the door and knock. You see, He's going to knock on each and every one of our heart's door. And it depends on what you do with letting Him in as to whether you're just in a category of, yes, I believe in God, or you've been born again. He's going to stand at our heart's door and He's going to knock and He's going to say, can I come in? Can I be part of your life? Will you surrender to me? Will you trust me? Will you love me? Will you follow me? He's going to ask every one of us that in time by His Spirit. And it depends, eternity depends on what you do with Jesus standing at your heart's door. I'm going to talk more about the definition of this rationalizing of our goodness next week. But I want you to know today, friends, that God loves you. He sent His Son to die for us. And to have some intellectual understanding about that is good. But Jesus said you must be born again. And if you haven't been born of the Spirit, Jesus said, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And so if you're here today and starting off this new year, and you're not even sure what that means, or not sure if you've ever done that, while we're singing this last song, why don't you come pray with myself or Richard? We'll pray with you. Let's pray now, and then we're going to close in a song. Father, we know You're real. I know You're real for what You've done in my life. I know where You're real because I've seen You working in people's lives by the hundreds. But Father, help us to get beyond the idea of an intellectual understanding and belief in You to that place where we have surrendered faith in You, in Your Son, We've been born again of the Spirit, not by works, Galatians 2:9 says, lest we could boast about that, but by your grace and our faith in you, our unreserved, surrendered faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for me. And so, Father, if we've never gotten to that point of surrender and answered like Matthew when he got up from the tax collector's table and just in surrender follow you, Father, help us to get there today or at least soon. Eternity depends on it. And so, Father, I pray for our community. Atheists, agnostics, those that have an intellectual assent to, yes, I believe in God, but haven't been born again. Help us, Father, in our communities to know Jesus Christ as Lord, to surrender to Him as Savior and Master, and to be His followers. May this year, Father, be a year of multiplying disciples by the hundreds in our own community through your church, regardless of the name on the church, through your church, may hundreds come to know Jesus Christ as Lord in our communities. May millions and billions come to know Jesus this year around the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.